Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Yeah, Al has a margarita in his hands. He's working from home. He's got his shirt off. He's getting ready to hit the beach here on a nice May afternoon. Is it nice in San Diego? Us here working up in Los Angeles, a little gray, a little cloudy, a little wet.
Let me clarify one thing with everything that you said. El Cajon. It's a little bit different than, because I think when you say San Diego, everybody's
Hotel
thinking,
Del.
Yeah, Sleaze in La Jolla.
Right.
You sat at a hotel overlooking the ocean. Yeah. A little more inland.
Yeah, it's a little still San Diego. It's America's finest city, as they say, Sleaze.
Great city.
Right?
Great city.
Great city. And you're down there enjoying yourself, getting ready. Like, as Emily, is today Ireland and Ramona again?
Yes.
Okay. So when they come in to do super crosstalk, as I'm saying, all right, we'll see. I'm going to hear your headphones hit the desk and you're down the road. Or is that going to, you're just going to check out somewhere halfway through it? What's going on?
You're going to say, coming up next, the dump. And then my Comrex is going to.
Kind of battery died. I don't know. My internet crashed. I'm out of here.
I'll just plug it in. Noah, I have a fan in. I'm not turning off the fan.
You could just call in. You could be on the phone. You could be like a caller. We could do it like that. That's not a bad way to do it. ESPN Radio is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Okay, so there may or may not be an Henri trip today. There's some moving parts in my weekend, and there's not going to be any golf this weekend. I can't do that. There's this weekend is all business.
What's happening?
Well, just there's a couple of events. A couple of our friends are moving out of town, and they're having a party, kind of a bon voyage party. So we're going to go. We have a couple of different ones of those.
Send them a text.
See you later. One of them, so you know,
all the best to all of you and your families.
So I know this is probably a little unusual. So I know people know this about me. My wife and I have been married for almost 25 years, and we've known each other since we were in the seventh grade. So, and we started dating in high school. One of her best friends from second grade is the one that we're going to go see tonight. They're moving out of state, so we're going to go see them. So these are long time, very close friends. So a text might not land quite the way that it needs to.
So even if you end up not going to your restaurant, that sounds like a good Friday night.
Yeah. Yeah, well, that's actually on Saturday, a different one tonight. But I'm looking forward to both. It should be. I don't know. Maybe we'll make a very early on rerun and see if he can get us in at the Sliwa hour. Maybe we'll do the weird 3:30, 4 o'clock shot.
That's the difference. When I come down to SD, it's like, okay, when I'm in LA and you just know, okay, Friday we got nothing planned. Let's go get some dinner. Let's go do something like that. Mm-hmm. I feel like when I'm down here, I feel like I got like, okay, well, I got to go see my sisters. I got to go stop by and see, you know, see how my uncle's doing. I almost feel like I have things to do.
An itinerary.
Yeah, it's not bad. It's a good thing. But I told you, 30 days without seeing family, they start wondering, like, okay.
Is he alive?
All right. He doesn't apparently he doesn't love us anymore.
Yeah,
guys,
you're making
relax. Right. We saw each other on Easter.
You are a good nephew, a good brother, and a good son. You're checking in, and that's the way that you're supposed to do that. A lot of people want to help out Funch. Let's start in Santa Barbara with Rob. Rob, you're on with Trav and Sleaze. What's up, Rob?
Hey. Good to talk to you guys. So listen, Funches, I've been a pastor, been a premarital counselor for many married couples. You've got to let her know that she is next to God, obviously, if he's in your life. She is your highest priority. You are her ally, and you will have her back for the rest of your life.
What if I put my rescue dogs ahead of her?
Jeez, Funch.
No, you know, it doesn't matter. Kids come along, grandkids, whatever. Nobody is ahead of your wife. Yeah, I mean, if you want a happy life, I mean, happy wife, happy life.
That's the saying, right?
Let me express it to you this way. I'm just going to give you a little man love. Travis, I've been listening to you since you were a call screener and setting up interviews for you-know-who.
Uh-huh.
Loved you the whole time. Still love you. Love your honesty. The fact you express your heart the way you were designed. And Slee, you're amazing. You guys are amazing. And so, Funches, you got to tell your bride she is amazing. She doesn't want to hear. You just got to tell her every single day the sun sets, the sun rises on her. She is the number one person in your life. And I've been married almost 38 years.
There you go.
And I can tell you, if you practice those things, you will have a wonderful life.
Damn.
Funch, I hope you wrote down what Rob said. You should play.
Might have to go back to the podcast to listen.
No, here's what you do. You put it on a flash drive and you give it to her as the gift. Here, this is Rob from Santa Barbara. He has some things he'd like to say to you on my behalf. That's how you do that.
I'll have Rob call in our day at the wedding.
Put Rob on speaker at the wedding. Thank you, Rob.
That was really good advice. That was really good.
Very good advice.
Thanks, Rob.
You're noticing a theme here, Funch, from the heart. Sincere. Tell her what she means to you. And I would highly recommend leaving out the dog part. I would just, that just went.
That came out
Travis,
of nowhere,
I think
too.
She'll put the dogs ahead of me, too, man.
Well, okay, but miss on the other side of that one. I'm just saying that maybe that's when you could leave out and see how it goes from there. But let's look, people want to help you, Funch. Downey and Jason. Jason, you're on with Travis Lee and the soon to be married Michael Funches. What's up, Jason?
So, Funch, don't worry. That is every single man's worry about getting married is, are we going to eat? That was my big concern.
Yes,
We had pizza catered. So I was like, there is no way in hell I am missing this. So my question to you is, do you have a day of coordinator?
We have a planner right now. We don't have a day of. We have an actual wedding planner.
Oh, perfect. You have to tell her, just remind her, but they're pretty much on it because ours was the same. Travis said, oh, everyone's going to come up to you. But with us, the planner, the day of coordinator kind of told everyone, you know, they're going to come to you. But when they sit down, please leave them alone. They will eat once they're done.
Yeah, but Jason, Uncle Dave has had 11 scotches. He's coming up.
Oh, yeah.
You know, there's going to be the people that you're offering some very good advice, and the planner can kind of
fence up
some
where you're sitting. Fence it up.
Short of what Al's suggesting, where you tape it off with like police tape and some cyclone fencing, they're going to come up anyway.
Where's the bride or the groom? They're in a different room. They're actually in a
secure
different
location.
Coordinator stood by the door, by the table, and kind of did the whole, oh, excuse me, nah, not right now.
Oh, so you had a security guard. Yeah, you didn't have a wedding planner. Yeah, like you had a security guard.
Yeah, like the red coats across the street over there.
Worth every penny. And let me tell you this, too, Funch. Last thing. First of all, congratulations. Are you a drinker?
Yeah, I am.
Okay. No matter how much you drink, your whole family, everyone's there, you're not going to get drunk.
Really?
You're going to be on so much adrenaline and love. You're going to be feeling it. So if they're going to keep offering drinks and you're going to say, hey, I'm not drunk, you're not going to get drunk. It's going to hit you at 2:45 in the morning when you're finally able to calm down and everyone's gone. So good luck with that hangover. Liquid IV.
Thank you very much, man.
Thank you, Jay. Oh, you know, he said something that's interesting there, Funch. You guys know how I like to enjoy myself. I think I've made that clear that I'd like to have a good time. And I'll have a few cocktails from here to there.
You're a dancer.
I think I had a glass or two of champagne at my own wedding. I really was not in that mode at all. And what he just said is right. You are so high on adrenaline and love. And because here's the thing, and this is not, well, it is a bit of a humble brag. John Feinstein, who wrote a million best-selling books, The Season on the Brink, famous basketball author and all these, I still am friends with him. He said something to me as I was getting ready to get married, and it always resonated with me, and it's something that I will tell you what he told me. There are exactly 2 days in your life where people gather just to celebrate you, your wedding and your funeral, and you enjoy the first one a lot more than the second one. So kind of soak it all in and take a moment to, because you are going to be high on the love in the room, on the adrenaline, on seeing all your friends and family, because they're there to see you. It's not a family reunion. It's not a party, a birthday. They're there to see you, and you will be flying the
entire
day.
Travis, that's a great quote. I think I'm going to steal it.
There you go.
Right now, there has been, Funches, you tell me, did you feel like the last 10, 15 minutes were helpful? You got some callers
are
calling,
so.
Giving good suggestions.
I'm also getting tweets, too, from, you know, John from Huntington Beach, who gave me a really good one.
Throw those away. Yeah, that's
go to Vegas.
Put a block on John.
No, I'm getting good tweets, and they're making me think, too, you know, like about a present and what to do during a wedding and everything.
Let's try another one. Let's go to Temple City this time. Mike in Temple City. What's up, Mike?
Hey, what's going on, guys? So my name's actually Ray on the mic. I'm actually a wedding MC out in L.A. Carlo's my guy at Sun Sam, but my biggest advice, I see grooms and brides every day, every weekend. My biggest thing for you, soak it all in, but the caller right before me, he said, find somebody that kind of deters people. Look, I would get on the microphone and I would tell everyone, hey, we're here for one reason. That's for our bride and groom to have the best night of their lives. As of right now, we're going to make sure that everyone is eating, including our bride and groom. You guys enjoy dinner. And that's where I come in, making sure that people are deterred for coming up. But it's all done in the right way because we want to make sure you guys eat. You're going to be on adrenaline. You're most likely not going to remember the end of the night if you get too drunk. But my question for you, Bunches, is I don't have a wedding next weekend. Where am I? Where can I be for you next weekend?
I'm sorry, man. We're booked, baby.
I like, look, he's cutting off Cousin Benny.
I'm cutting off, I'm cutting off blood relatives. I'm sorry, brother.
I think he just wants to run interference for you. Am I wrong, Ray?
Working for you.
Yeah.
Ray just wants to help.
He'll be your red coat is what I'm hearing.
Please do. 100%. Block those people away.
People hire me so that they can enjoy their night. So I'm their chauffeur, the butler, and the host at the end of the night. That's what I do. And I'm making sure that you guys are having a good time and having that person to kind of make sure that people are a little deterred at the beginning, but also making sure people are hyped up and your night is elevated to the full experience, man. That's what it's all about.
Funch?
Ray, that's a good pitch.
Thank you, man.
I'm just kind of listening here. That's a good pitch.
If I didn't have an MC already for my wedding or a DJ, I would have hired you, Ray.
All right, one more. We've got fun.
Call the other MC and DJ that you have. Let them both pitch.
I can't, man. I know the guy since high school,
kidding,
man. I can't.
I'm seeing the subject that Jim in L.A. wants to talk about, and I think this may take us in a different direction. Jim in Los Angeles. Jim, you're on with Travis Slee. What's up?
Yeah, hi, guys. I love you guys, Slee and Travis. I love you. This is Jim. And, I want to tell them that the most important thing is to make sure that you can smell her SHI and she can smell your SHI. And after that, you know, there is a line she doesn't cross and there is a line you don't cross. And after that, you know, yes, you can treat her like God, but make sure that you are treated nicely too.
Yes. No. I don't know what the first part of that was. That's not where I thought that was going. There are some. Here's a good one, right, Slee? And you want?
Very confused.
Yeah, I am too. I'm trying to get away from that as quickly as possible. Thank you for the call. But what was on the screen was you need to draw some boundaries. I don't know if it's boundaries, but here's another bit of advice. You need to have. There needs to be a little bit of mystery still that you don't quite know the thing about the thing, or you're still not quite sure how this all comes together, right? There needs to be a little bit of that. You still can surprise me. That's what I'm going for. You still need to be able to surprise each other every once in a while to be able to make, I didn't know that. Just something like that. So you want to just have a little bit of mystery in the relationship. And this has come from somebody that's, like I said, been married 25 years, and every once in a while I'm like, that's pretty great. I did not know that about her or how she rolls. It doesn't happen very often anymore, but it's still fantastic.
Well, thanks for the great advice, man. I'm still nervous as hell, though. Still nervous as hell.
Funch, I think you're going to kill it. You'll kill it. Don't worry, buddy.
Don't overdo the alcohol.
Also, one more thing. Yes, one more thing, too. I'm scared of drinking the night before the wedding and waking up with a hangover.
I have a story. I have a story on exactly that. We'll do that next. It's Travis Slee, 710 ESPN.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
People are fired up for Funches' wedding, Slee. The calls,
yeah, they're
they keep coming in. People are excited to offer some advice. We got some good ones. Maybe with the exception of that last call, we got some pretty good advice along the way.
I think there was good intention.
I don't know.
Yeah, I just don't know if maybe it didn't just come out the right way.
I think a good way of saying that is leave some things to the imagination. You don't have to share everything, I think is what he was going for. Just took a circuitous route to get there. I was a little hungover at my wedding. That's true, Funch. So the night before, I went pretty hard to the hoop the night before.
No, yeah. Don't do that. No.
I'm assuming that was not the intention, right?
It was not the intention. So yep. my mom and dad threw us this wonderful party, rehearsal dinner party, and party's breaking up. It's, 9:30, 10 o'clock at night. Wedding's at 2 o'clock the following afternoon. And me and my buddies were like, yeah, we'll go get a couple more. And one of Susan's friends wanted to go out and have a good time too. So she came along with us and we ended up, and it's still there. We ended up at Q's on Wilshire Boulevard in Santa Monica and we closed the place.
Yep.
And it was a huge
6 a.m.
What time was the wedding the next day?
I think 2 o'clock.
Oh my God.
Yeah. It was a huge mistake. I woke up the next day feeling less than 1,000%. Now by the time we got to the wedding, I was fine. I was 25 years old. I was resilient at this point in my life, but I would recommend you keeping your foot on the brake the night before.
Well, my cousin is my best man. Uh-huh. Let's just say that cousin is sort of like the bad influence of the family. If you know what I mean, everyone has one in their family, but he's the guy. My family, I'm staying with him the night before. I'm scared that he's going to just keep feeding me shots or something.
Yeah, just don't take him. You're going to want to be present. You're going to want to be. I had a during the actual ceremony, I felt less than an A+, maybe a C. And but by the time we got to the party,
that doesn't
I was
sound
back
like a
in
good
it.
Setup.
It wasn't.
Doesn't sound like
it
was a good setup.
Ideally, I want to stay at my house by myself the night before, but my fiance is making me stay at the hotel, with people. So I don't want to. I'm afraid I'm going to get drunk.
Don't. I've learned the hard way. You do you, but I'm just saying, if you've liked the other advice I'm giving you, take this one into consideration as well.
His fear in it, are you saying you feel like you're going to be talked into it?
Yeah, I can get easily talked into having a shot of some Hennessy or something, man.
Well,
and then it's a little more after that.
Let's try another one. I love all the advice. This is very good. Thousand Oaks and David. David, you're on with Trav and Slee and the groom to be Mike Funches.
Funches, congratulations in advance.
Thanks, man. Thank you.
It's going to be a great experience. But I will preface this and say that I don't know if you guys talked about the cake ceremony, but I was married for 25 years, and my wife and I had this conversation about no smashing the cake in each other's face.
Oh, that's not happening.
Okay, good. Regardless of the peer pressure that might come about, guys trying to like coax you into it, don't do it, Funch.
Here's the thing, though. I got friends, dirty friends that might just do that to myself. They might just smash the cake in my face. I got little life friends.
Square up.
Yeah, just don't let it get on her. Because they spend a lot of time on that makeup and hair, and that's a bad start to a relationship if you let it go there.
Yeah, I think that's good advice, David. Yeah, you don't strike me as a smush the cake in each other's face kind of guy, Funch.
No, not at all. But I have friends that will probably do it.
Yeah, that could happen.
You got to get somebody on the mic in this.
Six,
to run some interference
deep,
for you.
Who's six deep? Like, oh, it's going to be hilarious.
Yeah, I got friends like that. They're going to be, drunk a little bit, and they're going to be like, hey, let's smash the cake and punch his face. Just see what happens.
Better yours than hers. Look, yeah. Are you wearing a suit? You wearing a tux? What are we doing?
I'm wearing a suit. I think I'm going to go tie instead of bow tie.
Okay, is it your suit or is it a rental suit?
I'm going to rental.
Okay,
rental.
So then you can smash the cake all over.
Yeah,
it doesn't
do whatever
really matter.
Want.
Go do your thing. You'll be fine. Down by you, where Slee's hanging out today, in La Jolla. JP in La Jolla, you're on with Trav and Slee. Ah, we lost JP. All right, one more quickly. Kind of, sort of down there. Not really. Ken in Newport. Ken, you're on with Funches. What's up?
Hi, Nick. First, Michael, I just want to say congratulations. I hope this doesn't mess up you taking my Laker calls.
Oh, never, man. I'll take your calls all the time, Ken.
I know. You're the best. All right, I'm just going to give you just a little preview. My first marriage, I married a Laker cheerleader. All my friends are wild. She didn't tell me that her family is from Utah, and they all came to the wedding, and we had an expensive building, and you can imagine Utah and the religious family versus my family. It was a mess. My second marriage, I said, to heck with it.
Sounded like the gang fight in Anchorman.
Well, I went right to Vegas on the second fight. I mean, the second marriage. So I'm just giving you a little preview of what could happen and what might have happened.
So that's always an interesting part of it. Thank you, Ken. Funch, have your friends and family interacted with her friends and family?
Yes, we have. Okay. Yes. And as far as I know, our mothers love each other. They hang out with each other. Our families and friends are really cool with each other.
Oh, that's good. Yeah. Then. Yeah, that's a good vibe right out the gate.
You don't need to worry about that.
I mean, there's also those, you know, crazy uncles and crazy cousins on our side that haven't really been around. We don't know how they might be a wild card at the wedding, you know, basically.
What that's what makes it fun, right? You don't need 30 wild cards, but if there are two, then something good.
I think it's in the wild cards are like in the double digits at a wedding.
Well, keep me posted.
A lot of wild cards.
Yeah, you don't need a deck filled with 11 jokers. Just one's fine. To make the game a little interesting, we can throw a joker in there, but the rest of it I'm not so sure. Can you believe that a quarter of the season is gone, Slee? A quarter of the Major League Baseball season in the books. Dodgers are exactly where you'd think they'd be. They're 25-12. They're on top of their division. Only the Mets have more wins in the National League by one. They've got 26. And only the Yankees have more in the American League with 28. They're kind of exactly where you'd think they are.
Yeah, it's funny. We've kind of done this all season long for the Dodgers, and it hasn't been perfect in the sense of when will Kershaw come back? Or has Buehler been as sharp as you were hoping for? Max Muncy, I think it's safe to say, just the way that he struggled. Cody Bellinger still around the 200 mark. It's not perfect, and they're still arguably the best team in Major League Baseball, or one of that small little gap there. I think for the Dodgers, there's never really been a question of are they going to – the only real story about around the Dodgers is if they're not living up to expectations, right? Mm-hmm. Because what they're doing right now, in a weird way, kind of makes the Dodgers – I don't know if this is the right word. Sometimes it's when you kind of already know what to expect, it could become a little bit boring because literally this is what you expect. And I think the NL West just in general – or looking at some of these other teams that are going to try to compete with them, nobody's going to really question that they won't win the division. I think the answer is just going to come down to the Dodgers. Are they healthy? Are they playing the right baseball? Are guys stepping up? Those are going to be just what every Major League Baseball team has, but the Dodgers are obviously on a different level.
It's interesting because if you just kind of look at the Dodgers as a team, I think you give them, if we're doing letter grades here at the end of the first quarter, I think they get a lot. They get an A as a team. They're in first place. They're near the top of the league in the National League. They're a half a game behind the Mets, so they get an A. If you went down the individual list of players, I really think there are only two guys that you would give an A grade to individually. I think it's Freddie Freeman, and I think it's Mookie. I think those are your only two guys that get A's at this point. And that's incredibly positive for the Dodgers because Max Muncy's not. Trey Turner's not. Justin Turner is he's having a nice year. Will Smith is good, but he could be better. Cody Bellinger is kind of wherever he is. And you look around, Buehler is a little bit less than you would have thought. Urias is a little bit less than you would have thought. Gonsolin's an A too. He's done a really good job. But you look around, you got a bunch of B's and B minuses, and you're still comfortably, you know, where you're supposed to be. That's nothing but good news because other than Mookie and Freeman, everybody else could still play. They would still have to play a little better to get to what your expectations would be.
Yeah, I think that's the piece of it too. Where if the Dodgers, if everyone was clicking,
oh my gosh,
and just as an example, everyone's clicking, but you're a game behind, two games behind in the NL West, you'd be like, well, that doesn't make any sense. This is them. You could see that there's that much more upside. And by the way, you know, you could kind of make this argument as well. The Mets have some injuries. The Padres haven't had Tatis all season. So I'm sure there are teams that are also saying to themselves, hey, we like the spot that we're in. You know what? All we got to do is just kind of hang around. But it's not like the Dodgers are playing their best baseball and are barely hanging on. They got a lot of guys that you feel like ultimately, if they start clicking in a month or 2 months from now, or you get closer to the postseason, well, what is that? Like, what is their ceiling? And I don't think we've seen that.
Well, you know, when you look at the National League in particular, and you think about, okay, who are you going to have to beat in the playoffs? And keep in mind, the Braves won the World Series last year, and when we were at the All-Star break, they were under 500. And even in the early August, they were still not a particularly good team. They made the deals. They go out and get Peterson and some other guys, and they kind of rebuilt the team on the fly and ended up winning the World Series. So take that for what it's worth. Mm-hmm. The Mets have the best record in the National League. They're 26-14. Are you afraid of a seven-game series against the New York Mets other than just the randomness of it?
I think here's a reality. Anytime you're in a seven-game set, and baseball has proved, and you could just use the Dodgers as an example,
sure.
Afraid is not the right word. Can you lose?
Sure.
Of course you can.
Like, they could lose to the Marlins in a seven-game set. But do you have the better team? Would you change rosters if you could?
No,
neither would I. Right? Mm-hmm. You look at the other teams that are, you know, Milwaukee's on top of their division. They're 24-14. You want the Dodger team or the Milwaukee team?
That's every team you list off, right?
The only one that you kind of look at and say, huh, is on the other half of the draw. And maybe they'll get there and maybe they won. It's the Yankees. The Yankees are off to a great start. They're winning a bunch of games. Stanton has been good and Judge has been amazing and their pitching's been really good. And you look at them and they're off to a 28-10. They're off to a super start. If you look at that roster and you look at the Dodger roster, Dodger's probably better, but it's not better by a million miles the way it is on some of these others. That's really the one you look at and say, okay, you know, maybe it's a bit of a coin toss at that point. Everybody else, you feel pretty good going in. Doesn't mean you can't win or lose, I should say. But the roster that they've put together, you said it a minute ago, has kind of made the quarter pole, the halfway pole, the end. It's like, yeah, we know they're going to be at the end of the line. We know they're going to be there.
Well, it goes back. That is truly the story about the Dodgers. If you, the only story you can really find about this team is, well, that guy's not living up to expectations. Wow, why is that player not doing this? If the Dodgers were losing games, last year they went on a stretch. They went 5-15. Mm-hmm. That was a story.
Yeah.
Was it? Well, you know what wasn't a story? Is when they would go on a stretch that was 15-5.
Right. You know exactly what I mean? Right. Well, think about this. Their best relief pitcher basically hasn't pitched this year.
Yeah.
Blake Treinen more or less has not played. He played very early. He's been hurt. And they put him on the 60-day DL. And I'm knocking on wood. There's a chance he doesn't come back, right? That when you put somebody on that 60 DL, it's a long process, and hopefully he's ready to go by the time you get to the end of the season because I really think they're going to need him. But how many teams could you say, okay, we're going to take your best relief pitcher off of your team,
and
we're going to take seven of your nine starters, and they're going to give you something that's just about average or a little bit below of what you would expected, and the team's comfortably where they're supposed to be. It doesn't work like that.
Yeah, and you know, throw the Kershaw mix into it.
Yeah.
Dustin May, we've talked about how long he's been out. Heaney got off to a good start, and then all of a sudden he was out. So it's
he pitched three games, and he's back on the rack again.
And that's kind of that's the point of it as well. It's not just star. You don't just have star power. You have depth. You have guys that maybe you're in the process of developing. They have that perfect mix of everything.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Lakers are down to three finalists for their head coaching job. That according to a couple of different reports. Who's at the top of the list? Who do we like the most? Who do you like the most? That's next. It's Travis Lee, 710 ESPN. Funch and I were just breaking it down a little bit more, Slee, on potential ideas and how to do it. I'm excited for him. It's an exciting time in somebody's life. He's getting married a week from Sunday and getting close, my friend. Getting close.
Yeah, you kind of were giving some good advice there. You kept saying, "Hey, from the heart."
Yes,
I think he was listening.
You can't go wrong, right? Has anybody ever done something sincere and had somebody go, "Oh, no," right? It may not be perfect, but that if he would have attached something meaningful from a note, I think that thing lands a little bit differently. All right, Slee. So, Kenny Atkinson.
Yep.
Darvin Ham.
Mm-hmm.
Terry Stotts, according to both Shams and Woj, these are the three finalists, or at least three of the finalists. Maybe it's just them. Maybe there are other guys in the mix. That they're coming back for second rounds or additional rounds of interviews. They're expected to be in person this time around. That's the reporting on it. It's interesting to see the Laker fans' reaction. We want more of it. 877-710-3776, 877-710-ESPN. It feels like Darvin Ham is the consensus choice if forced to make a choice, but the more I look at the responses online, it's all, really? This is, we're going to get one of these guys? Nobody is really jumping up and down that they got their man.
Yeah, and I don't know if there's going to be that guy. Like, I don't think, you know, whatever Laker fans are looking for, or if there was a, you know, a hot name that you thought this is the candidate, I don't think you're going to get it. I really don't. I mean, even when this was early on, let's just say hypothetically, Doc was available and Quinn Snyder was available, you can still poke holes at all that as well,
sure.
Right? Like, now,
well,
it's
other than Nurse, everything felt,
I agree,
like, okay, I guess Nurse would have been, wow, that's a really good job.
I agree, and I think the, can you make a case for Doc? You can. I could sit here and make a case for Doc. Can you make a case for Quinn? You can. If both of those head coaches aren't available, and then these are the candidates that you have left, now you're sitting back just asking. I get people that hit me up on my timeline. They'll say, you know, I really think they should go with Mark Jackson. Let me ask this question on Mark Jackson. When's the last time he coached? Isn't there a reason why? I mean, I don't know it. I'm not in the – this is one of the things you and I were talking about. We're not here to break down Darvin Ham's offensive scheme and what he does on the defensive side. But usually for – think about how a lot of these coaches get recycled so often, whether it's Mike Brown or it's Terry Stotts or it's Alvin Gentry. Go down the list of coaches that – Mike D'Antoni. Mark Jackson hasn't. And I don't have the answer for you of why he hasn't, but
– doesn't matter.
I think that should be telling,
well,
right? That he hasn't
that.
Had another gig.
We were just talking about something almost exactly like this. Todd Gurley signed on with some weird football league that he's going to go play there with Terrell Owens and Mike Vick and stuff. It just so Todd Gurley was the best running back in football about 5 years ago, maybe 4 years ago, and the move from there to, hey, he's not quite what he used to be, to he's on a different team, to he's out of the league, happened, jeez, like that, right?
And at 27.
Right. So Funch was like, do you think he can finally make a team? And I said, well, I would have thought so, but when every team in the league had a chance to sign him last year and everybody's like, nope, we're good, and then a whole nother season of free agency comes around and draft comes around and everybody's like, nope, we're good, there's something in that. I can't tell you why he doesn't perform anymore, but
yeah,
when all 32 teams are saying it's not for us, there's something there. And to your point, and I've always felt kind of like this with Mark Jackson, the job he did in Golden State, he didn't do a bad job, right? He kind of got them to where they were, and then Steve Kerr took them to, you know, a totally different place, but the Warriors were better after Mark Jackson than they were before he got there, right? He did a good job with them, but the fact that nearly 10 years, and maybe it's exactly 10 years, has gone by, and no one's decided to take that plunge. There, I don't know. I can't tell you exactly why, but that means something to me at least.
Well, and it's not common in the NBA,
right?
I mean, it's very common to, especially if you have some success. If you have some success in the NBA, there's a very good chance, and another team decides to go in a different direction, there's a very good chance that another team is going to take a shot at you. So I don't think there's a name out there of all the names that are there that really stand out. And I really do. I'm starting to lean towards this. You know what? This whole next season is going to be a gamble. Every year for the last 3 years has been a gamble. Why don't you go gamble on one of these young assistant coaches? Take your chance and see what happens.
I am too. I've gone from the – and I still think that the players are the most important part. And I still think that Anthony Davis's health is probably,
yep,
number 1A on this list. And then roster construction after that. Russ, what do you do with him after that? And then the coach comes in at somewhere down the line after that. If I'm Rob Pelinka, I'm not going down with Frank Vogel calling himself Terry Stotts. They're the same guy, right? One's a little bit older, and you know, they've got slightly different paths, but these are both competent NBA head coaches. You just moved on from Frank Vogel because you felt like he wasn't the right guy for the job. I can't tell you any meaningful distinction between him and Terry Stotts other than one guy's a little bit older than the other guy, right? That's kind of the same guy. Darvin Ham's very different than that,
mm-hmm,
right? Kenny Atkins get a little bit of a hybrid in there, but if I'm that guy, if I'm Rob Pelinka, and I know that if I get this wrong again, I'm probably the next guy to get it. I'm taking a big swing. I'm going with the young, unproven, and maybe I catch lightning in a bottle and get exactly the right man.
By the way, and this also kind of goes back to something, if Rob Pelinka, like you just said, this could be his final coaching hire for the Lakers. That could happen. No question about it. This could be his final one that he makes. If I'm in a room and I just interview Terry Stotts and then I interviewed Darvin Ham, and then I interviewed Kenny Atkinson, and I decided out of those three, guys, Terry Stotts is the guy. Then I'm also going to go out of the way and say, okay, I know you, some people don't want to live and die by Terry Stotts, but I think what's as important, equally as important, is Pelinka, this is your, it's your job that's on the line if this doesn't work out. So you might as well pick the one that you feel, go down with what you want rather than what other people want. If you have that gut feeling, and I'm with you on the, I would rather take somebody, I'd take my chance, give me that younger guy, maybe that relationship of, I was also in the league for 10 years can have some type of an influence. You kind of see a little bit of a theme of that happening in the NBA. I would rather do that, but just as important as Pelinka, picking his guy, don't be as influenced as maybe some of these other decisions.
I'm totally speculating here, but you got to assume that if these are the guys that are getting a second look or a third look or wherever we are in the process, that they've been given a thumbs up or at least a thumb sideways by LeBron and AD, right? That you're going to at least involve, hey, what do you guys think about this? Because the only way that it doesn't go down is a no, right? No, I don't want to do that. Then you got to go in a different
direction. Different conversation, yep.
What do you think they would like to do? Do they want to run it back with a guy that's got his stripes like Terry Stotts, a guy that, you know, he knows the NBA. He knows how it works. He knows what being a head coach entails, media and coaching and travel and all those other things. And I know that Darvin Ham played in the league and has been an assistant in the league. But that 12-inch trip where you go from one chair to the other, just move one to the side, it's miles. Just the expectations and the responsibilities. Do you want an unproven commodity? LeBron's near the end of the line. AD has a lot to prove. Do I want to try to prove it with an unproven guy?
If you'd have told me right when Vogel got fired that they were going to go get somebody that's an assistant somewhere else that has not had any head coaching experience, I would have been very surprised. I really would have. I would have been kind of like, nah, they're not going to go do that.
Mm-hmm.
But I also didn't think they'd be coming back with a name like Terry Stotts. What I'm saying? That, like, I didn't feel like it was going to be a name that has been recycled and does not currently have a job. To answer your question, you're right. I could see if LeBron and Anthony Davis, of course, their influence. But if you'd also told me 2 months ago when Vogel got the axe that they were going to come back with a fresh, you've never heard, you know, he has no head coaching experience, I would have been surprised by that as well.
All right, let's try another one. We're doing well today in Santa Barbara, Slee. Let's go to JP in Santa Barbara.
Gabe
JP?
Vincent.
Hey, happy Friday, guys.
What's up, JP?
Real quick, there's not going to be a hot pick. Remember back when Luke Walton was available? Remember he had that stand up at Golden State? He was the hot pick. Didn't turn out too well. Vogel was not the hot pick. He won the championship. So you got to go with the communicator and the guy with the experience. Got to get someone who's had the league experience as the head coach.
That's Stotts, I guess. I mean,
it would be Stotts.
Under those parameters,
aren't we gambling next year anyways? Aren't we going to gamble this offseason? Let's just gamble. If we're going to gamble, let's gamble.
Yeah, the one guy that gets you a little bit like, eh, let's see how this goes, is kind of Ham. Kenny Atkinson, we had a little stint in Brooklyn. It went okay, not great. And Terry Stotts was pretty good in Portland. I think you'll get a pretty good performance out of him. And it all comes down to the players. Maybe you get the guy. Maybe, I don't know if there's a comp with Sean McVay, but Sean McVay was a who when they hired him? I mean, unless you were really in the inside of the loop, you didn't know who Sean McVay is, the coordinator in Washington. Okay, but, I mean, could they have made a better hire?
Do you think they think of this at all? And I've never kind of believed that the Lakers are thinking 4 or 5 years ahead. I think they're literally in this LeBron window. That's all they've been thinking about. Do you think Darvin Ham, they also think of, listen, if this Bron thing ends in a couple years and we still got this young coach that now is going to also be, you know, that in-between stage of whatever the Lakers are in a couple of years. Nobody knows what they're going to be. Nobody knows who's on the roster. Nobody knows if it's going to be young players. Nobody knows if it's going to you're going to go out there and grab free. I wonder if that – I would think no, that's not in the game plan. I think you're only thinking of the next couple of years. But,
well, I mean, maybe you're right. But what you said, you know, maybe in a couple of years when they're in that in-between stage, I can make a really compelling argument that they're already there. Right. So maybe it is a part of that. Right. Maybe it is part of, hey, listen, this isn't just for now. This is for now and next. Yeah. And as opposed, because look, let's say whoever gets the job, if that guy's gets iced 2 years, 3 years from now, I mean, the Lakers really want to be that spot that turns over the head coach every 2.5 years. That's a bad look.
It's kind of what it's been.
Yeah, right. And it feels like one of those things that now you're just selling tradition and you're selling banners from a million years ago, as opposed to, hey, we're going to set you up for a lot of success here. Yeah, well, what happened to the other five guys that have had the job in the last 10 years? It's a weird dynamic. All right.
Yeah, I'm looking, by the way, and the only reason why I mentioned that is since Phil Jackson, when he finished in 2011, it's Mike Brown, 71 games. Bernie Bickerstaff, but that was, Mike D'Antoni, 154 games. Byron Scott, 164 games. Luke Walton, 246. Frank Vogel, 143. So actually, out of all those coaches, Luke Walton was around the longest.
The Dump, coming up next. It's Travis Lee, 710 ESPN. In 2014 that the Warriors named Steve Kerr their head coach, right? And that was another guy that at the time he'd been with Pop, he'd been with Phil Jackson, he'd been on TV, he'd been an executive with the Suns, he'd been around the block a million different ways, and it just felt like the perfect guy at the perfect time. I don't know if there is that guy right now. The Warriors, like I said, 2014 is when they hired him, May 2014. He's still there. He's got a pocket full of championships, and he might get another one.
Well, and you had, by the time he came in, you had some proven play. When I say proven, you knew you were working with something. Yes. I know Draymond, Steph, and Clay were not Draymond, Steph, and Clay yet, but you knew you had something, and you knew you had something for a long period of time. Like that's what makes the Lakers situation so awkward. If you got 2 years out of what's coming up, you would say,
by the way,
you would kind of sit back and say, all right, well, 2 years sounds like that's probably the most you can get with what you have here. Kerr came into a situation where you had 10 years, and you have enough there of a foundation that you had something to build off of.
Well, I don't know why it hit me like that, but when you said it, it's like if we think about it so much from the perspective of the Lakers, like, okay, what are they looking for? What are they asking? What are the questions that they're asking in this interview? If you're in the other chair, if you're Darvin Ham, I mean, the question that you're asking is, What do you want from me here? Like, what are you asking me to do? Are you asking me to just do whatever we can in the next year or two to try to get LeBron another title? Or are you asking me to build a culture, to build a program, to build an environment that is sustainably successful over the course of 5, 8, 10 years? Like, those are totally different jobs.
I think it's the first one, buddy. I really do. And unless something changed, but haven't they already told you what their priorities are over the last five years?
If I'm Darvin Ham, though, that's getting an opportunity to coach the Lakers, you have to say yes. I understand that. You're going to say yes. But if I'm somebody else, I'm thinking, look, I don't need that. I don't see the path to that success. I'm going to wait. I'll go find somewhere else where I got a little runway to work.
So who's the somebody else? Because to me, the somebody else would be Quinn Snyder saying, you know what, if Pop is going to leave, maybe I'll go to San Antonio. Or, you know what, why don't I just stay in Utah? I'm just using these as examples. Or Doc saying, I feel like I have a better chance in the near future with the Sixers than I do with the Lakers. But all these other names either don't, or they don't have a head coaching job, or they're assistants. So I think you'll get those to come over.
So I've been excited to see Top Gun Maverick, right? The Top Gun sequel. Emily, is it out yet, or is it about to come out?
It's
getting closer, right?
It's going to come out. I think it's either today or next week. I got to double check that.
Okay,
is that why you're wearing the tank top?
Next
or whatever?
Week, next Friday.
Aviator sunglasses. I've been doing the whole show with my aviator sunglasses on. There's a new Top Gun trailer out, Top Gun Maverick, featuring Matthew Stafford, Sean McVay, Scottie Scheffler, the golfer, is in it. There's a couple of other athletes in there. It's like the Rams are really, and Sean McVay is doing the motivational, hey, this is what we're about to go do thing, and puts on the sunglasses at the end. It's like they are leaning into Hollywood. I love it.
I was going to say, sometimes you could look at the whole Hollywood, come on, guys, it's so Hollywood. They're not only leaning into it, they're doing it right, too.
Yeah.
Like it's not...
It's a Tom Cruise movie, for God's sake. Right?
But
I mean, it's not
some weird, one-off
indie film. It's a Tom Cruise movie.
But I'm using the draft video that they had. I'm using all the stuff that they are doing is... They're leaning into it. Let's put it that way.
You know what's so great about it, too, is that had Jaquasti Cart Tart caught that ball and they lose in the NFC Championship game, none of this is going down. None of it's going down. But because he did
Get back to training camp.
Right, the heist video. They've got the Maverick video. It's like, yeah, you know, Sean McVay looks like he could fly one of those jets. Like when he put the glasses on, I'm like, yeah, that looks like Slider. That looks like Iceman or Chester or whatever those guys were called.
All right, I want to throw this at you real quick because you mentioned the Rams here, and I forgot to mention this earlier. So, okay, it is what it is. They do these college football rankings. SC is actually up to number 4 right now in these college football ESPN rankings. What do you think happens in – I know they're both going to have their own buzz, but what do you think happens in the middle of November and you got a huge – I'm giving you two tickets. You can go to a USC game – and they're 10-0 at that point, or you could go to a Rams game, but you got to only go to one of the two events. This will be probably the first time where the two kind of collide. Not that they're competing against each other,
right.
But SC is there. At least the way it looks, they are going. This Lincoln Riley thing is going to move pretty fast.
Their expectations have changed dramatically.
It went from when
oh my gosh, they hired him. They got a real guy. It's not the assistant at Oregon State, right? They got a real guy. To let's see how long it's going to take him to turn it around. Maybe a year or two if it goes really, really well. To hey, you're number 4. Can you compete with the Rams? Can you? You know, they're playing at the same time as the Lakers. Who gets more people to come or whatever it might be? It won't take long.
Literally, it's only Georgia, I think Alabama and Ohio State that
right.
are in front of them.
It won't take long. Like it. Yeah. So you go back to when the 70s and the early 80s, the Trojans were the team in college football. They're winning national titles. They're cranking out Heisman Trophy winners one after the next. Their coaches are going to the NFL, all of these things, right? It's just they are cranked up. And then in the mid-80s, it kind of starts to fall off a little bit. And whatever, it took till the early part of the 20th century, 21st century, 2000, where all of a sudden Pete Carroll's back and
yep. –
here come Heisman trophies, and here comes national championships, and here comes number 1 overall draft picks and All-Americans. And it took about 2 years, and SC was the show in town. I mean, they were on equal footing with the Lakers and with the Dodgers. They were all over the place, and then they left, and it went sour fast. It goes sour fast, and it gets right. If they compete, if they get into
yep.
a college football playoff situation or damn near it, it'll take a year. I mean, they could turn it around in one season. That's how fast it could happen.
It's kind of fascinating because by the time we get to the fall, as much time as we've been spending talking about the Lakers and talking about the Dodgers and talking about the Rams and talking about go through all that, why do I have a feeling we're going to be spending a lot more time talking about SC come October?
Sure.
You know what I mean? It's just they're back.
So part of it is, too, and we don't know them yet. Right, I unless you are somebody that really chews on SC
oh, yeah.
football on a daily
yeah.
basis, like for instance, nobody knew Matt Leinart until he was Matt Leinart and Reggie Bush and Lendale White and Dwayne Jarrett and all of these guys. Like, oh, okay, these guys are the guys, and now you know them. They come back for a second, and now you're all fired up. These are guys that are coming from Oklahoma or from Pitt or from other
sure.
places, high
sure.
school kids that you just. Mm-hmm. It's like, okay, I'm told they're really good. But I haven't seen him with my own eyes in that uniform. It takes
till they put it together.
Yeah,
yeah.
I'm super excited for it. All right, so Pepsi, the soft drink, they have something called Pepsi flavored pepperoni that they're
sure.
attempting, which is pepperonis that are, I don't know if they're soaked or marinated in Pepsi, but at first it sounds like, well, that's terrible. Until you start to think about it's a little bit of that salty sweet thing going on, and who doesn't like to have a nice ice cold Coke or Pepsi with a slice of pizza? I mean, it doesn't sound like the end of the world.
Can I just go to Costco and get a slice of pizza with pepperoni and have a Pepsi on the side and just kind of have them together?
Pour the Pepsi on top
yeah,
of the
you
pizza.
Can. But what if you just get that little bit of extra little sweet in your pepperoni, Al?
What
are
they call
the face
it?
You're making?
Pepsi-roni.
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 Something like that.
So like
I try
pork
it.
And stuff, you put Dr. Pepper in that, so it's kind of the same thing.
You do?
Yeah, my dad does Dr. Pepper and his pulled pork. It's honestly fantastic. A lot of places do
I've
that.
I've never heard of that. That doesn't
must
sound
be a Southern thing,
yeah.
but it's,
Al,
it's really good.
Would you like your Dr. Pepper? Would you like your pork flavored with Sunkist or Dr. Pepper?
I only use Sprite. If it's not Sprite, I'm not touching it.
I have heard of like marinating steaks and Coke before. I've heard of that.
Yeah,
a little caramelization along the way. I'm here for it. I know that it's not super great for you, but I do fancy myself a soda once in a while. Your face at the Pepsi-roni was something else.
It was more the name. I was like, whoa, wow,
pretty good
creative.
Name.
Yeah.
pretty, pretty good name. They even have the little Pepsi like logo, little swinger, little thing. It's in the middle of the pepperoni. So why not? You know what it's time to do, Al?
It's Super Crosstalk.
All right, so I have a lot of things that I want to ask you, Ireland and Ramona, and we'll get to all that in just a second. But I need an update on where you both are. How is your son, John, and Ramona? How are you feeling?
He looks like he took two left crosses from Mike Tyson. It is this poor kid.
Poor guy.
My son had his wisdom teeth pulled yesterday, and I have a special needs kid, so he's never gone through anything like this. And my wife, of course, Trav, is away at some tennis boondoggle. So I'm like Nurse Ratchet in charge of all recovery. He feels fine. He looks terrible.
Is he swollen?
Oh, like beyond description. Like his jowls, he looks like Marlon Brando at the end of The Godfather.
Aww.
But he's hanging in there.
That's
good news. No, we haven't had to call 911 yet.
What type of nurse are you? Are you a sympathetic one, or are you just let's just execute the tasks as they come up?
So when I was a Ute, I was the most popular babysitter in my entire neighborhood.
Okay,
really?
Because as soon as the parents would leave, I would gather the kids around and I would say this: look. You can do anything you want as long as you don't tell your mom. My only rule is that you go to bed when you're supposed to. So if your mom said 10 o'clock, we got to make 10 o'clock happen. Before that, you want to eat M&Ms for dinner, you go for it. And nobody could understand why I kept getting, like, I was so popular. All these kids, like, nobody ratted me out.
Moms and dads weren't like, why do my kids have 43 cavities all of a sudden?
No.
Nobody
and,
was
and,
asking
and why,
any follow-up
and was
questions.
Like, why do my kids want John Ireland to babysit every time I go? And the kids were all super cool about it. So now that I'm an adult, I just cringe that was the kid I was, that I let, you know, because now I have to be somewhat responsible.
Somewhat. And you, Ramona, you made it through the show yesterday?
Yeah, I'm good. I mean, it's funny. Like, I really feel fine. I mean, I'm kind of big, you know. Like, I'm like, when I walk around, you can definitely see me coming.
You look pretty good on TV, though. I like, you cannot tell watching TV that you're 8 months pregnant.
It's
I don't
all,
know how you're
it's
doing
all
that.
Below, it's all below the belt, right? Like, it's all, you know, like, hide
good
it under
you.
The desk, you know? Like, and then actually, it's funny. Like, I really haven't gained that much weight. Like, I gained maybe 20 pounds total. And then I went on this gestational diabetes diet, which is like my paleo diet, basically. Remember,
right.
Trav, I gave you
sure.
the cardboard chips? And
sure.
It was terrible. Like, and I lost 5 pounds. I'm like, I'm on a diet? And I'm like, like, what the heck, you know? So, like, I really haven't gained hardly anything. I mean, like, maybe 15 pounds total. And the all baby right. weighs 7, so, you know.
There
that's
you go.
Good.
Good for yeah. you. Hey, Trav, did you see this tweet we just got from a guy named Luis?
I'm looking for it right now.
I've never seen Top Gun. It's,
yep.
it's addressed to you and me.
Okay.
Never seen Top Gun until you guys kept talking about it all week. Saw it today. Oh. Man, that was a good movie.
Yeah.
Top Gun came out in 1986.
It's almost
Who
30 years old.
Who hasn't seen Top Gun?
Well, Trav,
it's more than 30 years old, isn't it? If it came out in 86.
No, you're right. It's almost 40 years old. You're right.
Right.
It's almost 40. Yeah. I don't know. I don't know how you missed that because it's kind of an iconic one along the way. I've been telling these guys that I don't go to a ton of movies anymore, but I am 100% in for Maverick.
Yeah, you're excited. You're excited for
that,
this
Well,
guys.
Travis, I'm worse than you. I haven't been in a theater since COVID.
Me neither. Well,
I've only
I went
been
to
once.
One theater with
I've been
Greg.
To once since COVID. But even before then, we were maybe a movie or two a year in the theater. But I'm going to see Maverick in a theater. I really want to see it.
Bergman.